Welcome to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBAR 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer, healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. My guest in this segment is an MTU graduate student in computer science. Abhi, how do you pronounce your last name?
My name is Abhilash Kantamneni, which I'm told is quite a mouthful. So I just have my friends and people that know me call me Abhi.
Excellent. And we're here to talk about the Georgetown Energy Prize Competition. Mm-hmm. Tell us, for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about this competition.
So the Georgetown University Energy Prize is a $5 million energy prize for communities across the country to help find innovative ways for reducing their energy costs. What does that mean? For example, you walk around the studio and you use light bulbs, mm-hmm. right? You know, yep. Standard tube lights, 60 watts each. You run 10 of these for an hour. That costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
So if I came here and told you, can we switch these out with LEDs? Your first question would be, how much would that cost me? When would I be able to pay it back? So the aim of the competition is to help communities find answers to questions like this. And Houghton County is one of the only 51 communities across the country that is competing for this $5 million energy prize.
Where did you hear about this, or how did you hear, and what made you want to get involved?
So I am a graduate student in computer science at Michigan Tech, and I work in the energy sector. So my research is funded by the U.S. Army Research Labs, mm-hmm. and I build what are called smart microgrids for the U.S. Army. Now, since I work in the energy field, a part of being a graduate student is you try to keep up with everything that's going on in the Department of Energy, Energy Information Administration, and so on. So I was looking on Department of Energy's website one day, and there was this $5 million competition. Mm-hmm. And they had me sold at $5
million. A lot of money.
Who doesn't like that, right? So when I looked into the details, it said Houghton County was one of the counties that qualified because they're looking at communities between 5,000 people and 250,000 people. And Houghton County has about 36,400, if I'm remembering my numbers right.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that, and the first thing I did was I went on the website, HoughtonCounty.net, looked at the Board of Commissioners, found Chairman Mr. Scott Aller, sent him an email, and I told him about this. We met for breakfast, and then I made a short pitch presentation at the Houghton County Board meeting, and they approved Houghton County's participation in this competition.
The county board said, all right, get us involved. Then what happened?
So immediately after that, I turned in the letter of intent. I went around essentially shopping for people who'd help me with this project. Now, my research, like I mentioned earlier, has nothing to do with this. This is a part of what I have involved myself in pro bono as an effort to give back to the community. And I wanted to find people that are also motivated like that by the environment here to try to give back to the community up here.
Mm-hmm.
So after I spoke to the Houghton County Board, I met some faculty from Michigan Tech, some local nonprofits, some members from the local planning and development region like Wuppertal, people from KEDA, and local nonprofit called New Power Tour, Michigan Saves, Michigan ORG. And so all these are different organizations that at some level have already involved themselves in helping with energy efficiency. For example, there is an organization called Community Action that mm-hmm. has its offices down by the UP Food Bank.
Yeah.
What Community Action does is it helps weatherize houses from low-income people. So if your income is below the federal income standards, they help weatherproof your house for the winters, so which includes simple things like insulation, caulking, stuff like that. This already exists, but the awareness of a program like that does not exist. For another example, if you went on your local utilities website, for example, UPCO, you could fill up a short online survey, and they would send you 10 free CFL bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
This program has existed and has been mandated by the state of Michigan for quite a while, and UPCO has been very cooperative in organizing this program, but yet the awareness of that doesn't exist. So after I met with the county board, I went around, looked for people that were willing to help me put the people that need a use of these resources in touch with resources that already exist to facilitate a sustained development of energy efficiency in the community.
Now, we know that Houghton County fits the parameters to who is allowed to fill out to this competition. Mm-hmm. What makes you think, because I've heard you on record say, Houghton County has a chance to win this. Mm-hmm. This isn't just something, oh, let's try it out. What things about Houghton County specifically or the local area makes you very confident of them winning this $5 million grand prize?
I'm going to go on record here and tell you again that I honestly believe that we have a great chance at winning this competition. This is not simply a fool's errand. This is not, you know, me, a goody-two-shoes running around trying to fix the world, right? The reason I think that we have a good chance of winning this is, A, we have a compelling story to tell. For example, did you know that we pay the third highest electricity bills in the country?
This is in the
entire United States of America. The people of Houghton County, the Keweenaw County, pay the third highest electric bills. If you went downstate Michigan, for example, your electricity bills would be cut in half. How much do you pay, Sam, if you don't mind me asking?
No problem. UPCO, talking about almost $150.
If you lived in, let's say, Grand Rapids, your bill would be $80 a month for the exact same amount of electricity you consume. If you went to Barraga, for example, you would be paying somewhere around $60 a month.
In terms of context, are you aware of who is number two and who is number one?
So number one is Alaska.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. Number one is Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
Number two is Pacific contiguous islands. And I'll tell you, Sam, I don't know if you figured this out yet. I don't know if the listeners have figured this out yet, but I'm not from this country. And I don't know what Pacific contiguous island means. I am assuming there are some islands in the Pacific Ocean that are a part of the United
Guam?
States. Maybe. There you go. Actually, Guam? That's probably right. Yeah.
It might Guam. Be. But it shows you how far, mm-hmm. how far away a place like Houghton County is from Hawaii, from, you know, Guam, just to show you that kind of difference. Is there any specific reason in terms of the actual region?
There are some reasons for it. For example, let me lay out for you and the listeners the energy situation in the Midwest. So there are four or five distinct players that control the energy, electric energy, from the time it starts off as being either coal or natural gas or nuclear or solar, mm-hmm. or coming up all the way to your homes as electricity, right? So there are what are called utility companies like UPCO or Antanagan REA that bill you, the customer. There are power companies like, for example, Wisconsin Energy that actually generate the electricity. UPCO, for example, is only a utility company.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a power station. It's not a power company, which means UPCO has to buy its energy from Wisconsin and ship it all the way up here.
Yeah.
There's another company in between all this called the American Transmission Company. American Transmission Company does not bill you, the customer. It does not generate electricity. All it does is build and maintain the infrastructure, the distribution channels. So all the transformers, all the big poles that you need to wheel energy from Wisconsin to up here, that's ATC. The other agency is called MISO, Midwestern Independent Systems Operator. What MISO does is it maintains the grid all the way from Manitoba in Canada down to Arkansas, mm-hmm. down south. It's a huge grid of interconnected loads, which means people that consume power and power stations that generate power. What MISO does it sort of negotiates bidding between people that buy power and people that sell power and so on. UPCO, which serves most of Houghton County, some parts of which are serviced by Antanagan REA, does not generate its own power.
Mm-hmm.
It has to buy electricity from Wisconsin and ship it all the way up here. And if you went home and looked at your electric bill, you will notice that there's, I think, what's called a generation charge and a distribution charge.
I've seen that.
Generation charge is what it costs for a company to generate electricity, and that's around 9 cents a kilowatt hour. And that's fairly standard through most parts of the country. Everywhere in America, between 7 cents and 9 cents is what people pay. And then there's another charge called the distribution charge, which is 10 cents a kilowatt hour, which means UPCO bills you 10 cents a kilowatt hour for shipping electricity from Wisconsin up here. This is my understanding of things.
Mm-hmm.
If in other parts of the state, for example, downstate, your distribution charges are very low, maybe 2 cents an hour, 2 cents a kilowatt hour, 3 cents a kilowatt hour, because it doesn't cost them as much to supply energy to you, even though it costs them as much to generate that electricity. So the reason our rates are so high up here is because it costs a lot of money for UPCO to bring electricity all the way down from Wisconsin to up here.
Has this been a long issue? Has this been something, or is this something that from research that you have done, mm-hmm. Was there ever a specific time when the prices just spiked?
I think what has happened is that we find ourselves in a situation where we are like a frog in a boiling pot of water. Electricity prices have gone up consistently over the past few years to such a degree that we haven't noticed how high we pay.
Mm-hmm.
It surprised me when I found out only recently that we pay the third highest electric bills. I'm very sure, you know, half your listeners, maybe even more, are surprised today to find out that they pay the third highest electric bills in the country. And let me tell you what the scary part of this is. It's very, very likely that our electric bills will go up by a huge margin over the next few years. And it's not UPCO's fault, and I'd like to say while I'm here on the radio, on record, that our utility companies, SEMCO, Antanagan REA, and UPCO, have been very, very cooperative with the energy efficiency efforts.
Yes.
They have come to the table, and they have said, yes, we will help you. They have signed on as letters of support, and they're willing to help the community reduce their energy costs. So there are no bad guys here. So UPCO is not the bad guy. REA is not the bad guy. SEMCO is not the bad guy. It's just a complicated situation we find ourselves in. The reason that I tell you I'm here today and telling you that our rates are going to go up is because in the state of Michigan, we have this thing called electric consumer choice. What that means is you, as a consumer of electric energy in the state of Michigan, have a choice of choosing who you can buy your electricity from.
Yeah.
Turns out that limit is capped at 10%. So 10% of all customers under UPCO can choose to buy their electricity from someone else. For example, Michigan Tech buys its electricity from a supplier downstate, and they pay about one-fourth or one-third of what you and I pay for electricity.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Michigan then decided that they were going to give the mines in Marquette, the Cliffs,
yeah,
the choice to go buy their electricity from whoever they wanted.
Okay.
So your choice is capped, my choice is capped, but the mines have the choice to go on the free markets and buy their electricity from whoever they wanted. Okay. The Cliffs moved from Wisconsin Energy to Wisconsin Public Service as their electric provider, which means that Wisconsin Energy, which operates the Presque Isle Power Plant in Marquette,
yep,
lost 85% of its customers. Wow. Simply with just those two mines moving away.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin Energy said, and I think reasonably so, that they were going to shut the Presque Isle plant down because it wasn't profitable for them anymore to run that plant because 85% of their customers they lost 85% of their business. MISO, which I told you earlier, is the operator that manages the grid in all of the UP, all of Wisconsin, Minnesota, and so on, figured out that if Presque Isle plant shut down, there would be a energy crisis in the UP. You wouldn't be guaranteed that you can go home and turn your lights on, and the lights would turn on. So they prioritized reliability over affordability. So in order for Wisconsin Electric to keep the Presque Isle power plant open, MISO is paying Wisconsin Energy $55 million a year.
Unbelievable.
So those costs are going to be distributed through ATC's footprint. Now, Michigan right now pays 8% of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin pays 92% of it. The taxpayers of Wisconsin are not happy with this. because this problem, they view it as essentially an Upper Peninsula problem. So Wisconsin is suing MISO at FERC, which is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, saying they want to pay only 42% of it, and Michigan has to pay 58% off that $55 million.
The majority.
So if, and it's, and a lot of, I've seen a lot of, you know, reviews and comments on Forbes.com and all these different places that seem to indicate that this might very well go in Wisconsin's favor. And if that does happen, our electricity prices, even though they're, I mean, already we are at the third highest in the nation, can go up by a huge margin.
So now that people have become aware of these issues, let's talk about, I know it's kind of at a preliminary stage right now. What are the goals, and give us an idea of a timeline, what you have planned.
So the competition is a three-year-long competition. So far, like you mentioned, it's been a fairly academic exercise. What do I mean by that? It means that we've had to apply for turn in letters of application. We had to give them a community profile, how many people live in our community, what size it is, and what the demographics are, and so on. The date of submission for the next stage of application is the 30th of June, where we will submit a brief plan that illustrates how we will go forwards, engaging the stakeholders and so on. But starting in December of this year, it's a two-year-long plan for us to find, engage everyone in the community to be a part of this process. It's a problem that's not unique to you or to me, but not to this radio station, not to the guy next door. It's a problem that is going to affect all of us. I mean, not just in terms of individual homeowners, individual businesses, but it's something that will affect, you know, the, how we attract businesses to come up here. It'll affect how much jobs we can create up here.
Mm-hmm.
It'll affect, you know, how much food, you know, families can put on the table, not just with electric costs. For example, we are coming off of the one of the worst winters in living memory.
Oh, yeah.
And 2,600 people under SEMCO's, you know, footprint haven't been able to pay their heating bills all through winter. And the reason for that is because some of the houses up here are really old, and simple things like caulking up your windows, you know. For example, let me tell you this, right? So you see the door we have in our studio right here. Mm-hmm. There's a thin slit in the bottom.
Yep.
1/8 of an inch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not covering that up with a simple paper, having just that thin slit under your door, is as bad as having a baseball size hole in your door with regards to how much heat you lose.
I noticed that, and I did have to get these strips with that stick, in even in between the door all the way around, and I completely see what that is. Are there any other things around the house that someone could do to you know, lower their energy costs?
There are a lot of things that you can do around your house, and there are a lot of solutions that are catered to individual needs. But there are grants and there are rebates offered by the utility, offered by the state of Michigan, that that pays for you to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
It pays for you to replace your old electric appliances. It's like I said, there's not enough awareness about those things. So the plan, essentially going forwards, is to try to engage every single member of the community, try to understand what they feel like they could do to change behavior. So it's essentially a social engineering problem. I know, for example, that it's good to turn the lights off when I leave the house.
Yeah.
It's still difficult for me to convince myself to do that on a consistent basis, right?
Just out of habit.
Out of habit. It's just sheer habit. So how do we find those, how do we motivate people to make those changes in their own best interest is something that we still have to find. I don't have the answers, and the committee as of now, I mean, there's no formal committee. It's just a bunch of, you know, ragtag people that are trying to get this movement forwards. We don't have the answers yet, but we want the community to step up and come to us with answers, come to everyone with answers. So we, right now, I would say, maybe at the end of this, is to go on our Facebook page. We have the pages Houghton Energy Efficiency Team, and I'd ask every resident of Houghton County to be a part of the team. Sign up on our Facebook page. Give us your feedback. Give us your comments. Tell us these little tips and tricks that you have used in your own household, in your own church group, in your own community to help lower your energy costs. And using examples from our own community, I think we can help educate other members of the community.
Has there been any reaction so far? Like I said, I know this is in its infancy right now. Has there been any reaction that you've gotten from maybe a local companies or anything? Anybody big really looking to get involved in this?
Yes, yeah, so the statewide organizations like Michigan Saves. MichiganSaves.org is a nonprofit organization that gives that finances renewable energy or energy efficiency retrofits. So Michigan Saves is involved. Efficiency United is involved. UPCO, SEMCO, and REA are involved. Mm-hmm. Michigan Tech is involved. Vupader, KEDA, local church groups, Village of Lake Linden, Houghton County Board. And there are all these. I mean, if you go on our website, which is off the Facebook page, you will see a list of partners, influential members from the community, Main Street, Calumet, New Power Tour, and all these different enterprises on Michigan Tech's campus. These big organizations are getting involved up until this stage, but moving forward, we want individuals to get involved. We want local businesses to get involved. We want them to come to us and say, look, this is our, you know, this is our energy bills, and this is what we have done to save costs. Can you help us? You know, can we, as a community, try to figure this problem out? And I honestly believe that we have a great chance of rallying together as a community, because when I think community, I think the Upper Peninsula, I think Houghton, I think Upper Peninsula, especially because the 50 or 51 other communities that are in the competition, they're mostly, you know, rich suburbs of Austin, you know, Farmington Hills in Michigan, Holland in Michigan, you know, suburbs that have the kind of resources, money, infrastructure to go and change all, you know, lights in everyone's home and put in CFLs if they wanted to, because they have that kind of financial resources. Whereas up here, we don't. But what we do have is our ability to come together as a community to help each other out. And I think that's our strong point. And I think that's what the Georgetown University Energy Prize is looking for. So all of the sum total of all electricity consumed in Houghton County over the past 1 year, they have gathered the data, and they are in the process of sending that to Georgetown University. So based on this year's baseline, how well will our efforts over the next 2 years reduce consumption based on this year's baseline will go into deciding who wins. So the metrics of the competition are, A, just the quantitative reduction in energy consumption.
Yeah.
For example, this year, if Houghton County used 100 million units of energy, let's say, over the next 2 years, if we reduce that to 80 million, that will count as a win for us. The second metric is, how well are we able to engage community? By the end of the next 2 years, I would like every resident of Houghton County to think, talk, speak about energy. Energy costs, energy efficiency, and energy efficiency doesn't simply mean things like turning off lights. It means finding ways of reducing energy costs. For example, I will make another bold claim and say you can pay off an investment in solar panels in Houghton County faster than anywhere else in the country. We are by far the most solar friendly place in the whole of United States of America. Why? Even though we get less sunlight than places like, for example, California, which has a lot more solar energy, since we pay so high electric bills, the money you save from putting up your solar panels, you can repay them in about 7 years. Including all the snow, we get, you know, 250 inches of snow and all the sort of thing. Even accounting for all that, we have data collected from local sites, like, for example, the solar panels next to Shopko in Houghton and the Kuna Research Center, that you can pay off your electric bill or your solar panels in about 7 years, right? So finding ways of engaging the community, giving them access to these resources. And the last and another crucial metric of this competition is how translatable is, how replicable is our solutions with other communities across the country. So the things that we do in Houghton County to help improve our energy efficiency and help reduce our energy costs should be able to be applicable in most communities across the country. So it goes back to my earlier example. If I found a $2 million bag of money in under the ground and then fixed Houghton County's energy problems, how likely is that to happen in other counties? Probably not. But if we found ways of helping people turn off lights when they leave the room, use the dryer less, for example, or cock up their windows, find ways of incentivizing people to do that, any community in the country can do that. So that's the third metric. The last metric is also training the next generation of residents of Houghton County, so school children, college children, into sustainable energy development. So all the things that we do now today, shouldn't the fruits of our labor shouldn't be lost 10 years from now. The next generation should be able to pick up from where we left and then move forwards and make great gains.
All right, well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank Abhi for coming in and really bringing light to this situation, and we wish you the best of luck in this competition.
Thanks a lot, Sam. And I'd like you to leave with one quick word. Please visit our Facebook page, Houghton Energy Efficiency Team, Facebook/ Houghton Energy Efficiency Team. Thank you. Thanks a lot for having me. And it's a beautiful day in the Q&R today.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer, healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at QNRReport.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Copper Country Today.